just mean that don't die. In the incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salam, there are great lessons, a great moral support which strengthens the mind, strengthens the heart, and the morale is picked up. And thereafter, those that are closer to the Anbiya alayhi salam, we have a tendency, we have a liking towards them. It is man's nature that he wants to see and emulate. He will see and he will follow. And what he sees impacts very heavily on his heart. If we have the head of the Absa Bank to give a talk, for example, in one of the bigger masjids in Durban, Grey Street for example, at the Jummah, where the crowd is to the capacity, and the topic that we choose for him is a topic of interest, will the talk have any effect on the audience? Is the head of the bank, so he may have researched the whole topic very well, and then he's talking at not an ordinary masjid, one of the biggest masjids, and at the time where the crowd is at the peak, but does his talk have any effect? The reason is obvious. So these Buzurgana Deen and his Awliya Ikram, this is what they worked on, is more than the oratory styles and the ability to express things or the ability to catch the attention of the audience. More than all that was to catch the attention of Allah Ta'ala. When they got that, then it is Allah Ta'ala that changes the hearts around. In a second, flash of a second, he changes the hearts. One sentence, one word, one action, and you may not know how that word just changes the person around, just one word. One person had to be talking to an audience, a couple of good 1,000 people, and it wasn't working. Didn't work. At the end, one ordinary, simple person came up, and all he said was, my expectations of you were something different. And just that one sentence turned the whole audience around, where they were totally averse to the person, don't listen. And just this one single sentence, and it just changed around. So this changing around generally happens with the blessing of Allah Ta'ala. And the blessing of Allah Ta'ala is generally focused when Allah Ta'ala sees the sifat. Allah Ta'ala's attention and Allah Ta'ala's tawajjuh comes based on certain sifat, certain qualities, certain behavior. Let us say behavior is the simplest word that I can express it with. He wants to see a certain behavior for his attention to be focused. He sees the behavior, he gives it. So his attention doesn't come with your intelligence, with how beautiful you can understand, or how beautifully you can relate. His attention doesn't come with that. But his attention comes definitely with your behavior. Sahaba Ikram that penetrated into the African jungles in their time, Uqba ibn Nafi radiallahu anhu, and Africa from that zamana was known as the wilderness. When we went to India, so I can remember very well, Indian students would ask us, hey, how have I managed to live in Africa? So I said, what's wrong? For me it was something unique, why he's asking. He says, lions walking there in the streets, how you walked, how you managed living there? So that's the impression they have of South Africa or Africa up till now. That's the impression that they have of Africa up till now, right? So then you can imagine what must be the condition of Africa. But the Sahaba Kiram, when they came in and they saw the whole, sized it up, and they said, after a day or two, listen, O wild animals, we have decided to settle here. And if we see any of you from now onwards, we will not hesitate in shooting you and killing you. We give you a 3-day chance, 3-day respite, and you may move to another location, to another abode. And they say every animal, the lions with their cubs, the elephants with their calves, the snakes with the small snakes wriggling around, all left the jungle. So what is this? How does this happen? It happens with a special relationship, that bonding with Allah Ta'ala, that alignment with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak wants to see that behavior. With the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I had seen the different groups that are working and that are active in this country, right? And most of them I had seen from the beginning. Madrasas, alhamdulillah, I had seen from the beginning. Right? And Tabligh also I had seen from the beginning. And Khanqahs also I had seen from the beginning of this country. Although these works have started on many, many years ago. But in this country I've seen all these works and I've seen them from the very beginning. But one common thing that I'd observed was the thing that impacted the heaviest on the lives of people was the behavior of those forerunners. People that are forerunning, the forerunners in that group, whether in the madrasa, whether in the jamaat, whether in whatever. But what is the behavior, what is their style, what are their ways? So the forerunners, the important people, people that are known, right? Madrasa, and how is the forerunners, how is the more important people, how is the people that are the older persons. The jamaat, now they look at the jamaat as well, how is the forerunners, how is the important people, the jamaat that's coming in, what is the style, what is their behavior. This impacts very heavily in the people. Sometimes that one small jamaat comes, a simple bayan, and they just turn things around. Simple bayan, they don't give any beautiful type of an oration. The behavior is there. You can see that the jamaat is there, there is some concern that is there, the amal and the deeds are there. You can see that they are working clockwise. You can see now there is a proper pattern in the whole jamaat, there is a proper pattern. Not speaking unnecessarily, more especially at the namaz times, azan times, nobody is speaking, nobody is giggling, making some side mashwaras, how important they may be. People are viewing you, they are watching you all the time. Whether you are in the madrasa, whether you're in the Khanqa, whether you're in the Jamaat, they're watching, they're observing. They want to see what is the behavior like. When they see this type of behavior, then this behavior really touches them. Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib Rahmatullahi was explaining that one Jamaat had to come somewhere in Lahore, near where he lives, or in Lailpur, where he lives near. So many an educated person got affected with the Jamaat, just the behavior. They came so respected, dignified, their belongings they left on one end of the masjid very neatly, and they covered it up with this bedspread. There's no noise, there's no talking, especially from the time that azan goes, and more especially in the masjid. There's no talking. They need to make a mashwara right on the side, long before the azan can start. They're doing all that. Now these people was observed them the one namaz, the second namaz, by the third namaz they were overwhelmed. This is something we need to see. So it was just their behavior that impressed the people. So it's our behavior that counts. In our children, then it is our behavior that counts and weighs heavily on their lives. What we do. You may say the child, whatever you want to, no matter how much of preaching you may do to the child, but the child says, but my father does it like this. My mother says it like this. He wants to know what's wrong. If it is wrong, then why do my parents do it like this? Why does my father do it like this? Why does my mother do it like this? They want to know. So this incidence of the Anbiya alayhi salam, they are the fathers of humanity. Ruhani parents, spiritual parents. Like we have physical parents, then our spiritual parents are the Anbiya alayhi salam, And like we will look up to our physical parents, then we look up to our spiritual parents even more for solace, for guidance, for direction. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about these Anbiya alayhi salam in Surah Maryam. It's about 8 Anbiya alayhi salam Allah Ta'ala speaks about. Right. And he speaks about commencing the story of Zakariya alayhi salam when he's on his last leg, he's about to leave the world. What is the frame of the mind of the person when he's reached his age? See? As you're reaching your old age, then your mood takes a change. Now you soften up and you're not as hard as you used to be. You're looking at life from a different dimension altogether. And you're seeing the weakness creeping within you. You're not strong as you used to be. The white hairs appearing. You're trying to camouflage it with mehndi and all that. It's still coming up again. Again you try to take it out. Again it's coming up. So all that, now you went through that, you see. The motions you went through first came up, you pulled out one, pulled out another one this side. But as you pulled out five, another white hair appeared that side. Something or the other, it gave you up. Then your strength, you don't have that type of strength. Right. Then you see you're getting tired more than normal. Then you see sometimes that your anger is flaring up and you don't have that level of endurance like you used to have. So one thing is failing and fading after the other. So the time for departure is approaching. These are all the signals of Allah Ta'ala. It's the time of departure. When it's a time of departure, then now you need to do something for yourself. It's a blessing of Allah Ta'ala. It's a grace of Allah Ta'ala that He sends these type of signals. Otherwise man could have said, Allah Ta'ala, you didn't send any warner to us. No warner, no symbol, no signal, nothing, absolutely nothing. And just took our lives away. Yeah, Allah Pak is giving you one signal after the other. One signal is not finished, and the second one is coming up. And second one is not finishing up, and the third one is coming up. You're trying to hide it, but it's coming up again. The more you're trying to conceal it, the more it's surfacing. So, who can be more intelligent than the Anbiya alayhi salam? Now he's seeing, Zakariya alayhi salam is seeing that I'm aging. Now as I'm aging, then what do I need to do? I need to work a forward plan. Some type of a security system for my advanced age. Some type of a security system for my successors. I need to have some type of a system in place. And this was not unique to Zakariya alayhi salam. Even the other Anbiya alayhi salam did the same. أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ Yaqub alayhi salam is on his deathbed and then he summons his children. It's called Bani Mata Abuduna Mimbadi. Then he makes some bequest to them that what is the way after me? After me, what are you going to do? Who are you going to follow? And then again, Wasa biha Ibrahimu Banihi wa Yaqub. Ibrahim alayhi salam also did the same. He saw the same need. He saw the need also, like Yaqub alayhi salam. Wasa biha Ibrahimu Banihi wa Yaqub. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ So that was a common line in all the Anbiya. That they worked for this. But as they approached the end, then they are called, becoming more serious, more concerned. Now we are about to depart. So as we depart, we want to see our sons and our children on a certain line. Right? We haven't yet departed, but we want to see them on that line. And then when we have departed, at least we have got some type of comfort and some ease in our minds that we left them with a sound system that they must hold to. We had worked for that system, and not only did we work for the system, but we encouraged them to hold on to that system, and we showed them how to go about holding that system right to the end. So we parted from them whilst they were holding to the system. If Allah Pak were to ask us, Allah, we can say, Alhamdulillah, I worked for this cause, I brought them onto that system, that they may hold on to it, and I left them holding on to that system. So, some type of a security, a spiritual security, a dini security. We wish and we long for material security, don't we? It's a big concern, my major, major concern. Someone is concerned about material security, finance, and that security. Someone is worried about a motor car security, and is worried about that. How to secure himself in that regard. Someone is worried about his health and his security in that respect. So these securities are short-lived. Motor car or finance or old age, whatever it is, it's just a short thing. Maybe the most that you need that type of security, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, you finish and then you're out. Completely out. But then you need a security that is perpetual, that you can't reverse. Then you feel so relaxed as your time is approaching, and you know, I've got a system in place that I don't have to look back. I don't have to be doubtful about. I've got a security system in place. So nearly every Nabi did the same. وَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُبُ يَا بَنِيَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Now this is the way Allah Ta'ala has chosen for you. You remain upon this system right till you die. You die for the system, you live for the system. Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam is saying the same thing. And Allah Ta'ala deliberately speaks about Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam because he is that Nabi that people of every denomination, they take it an honor to attribute themselves to Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam. Without exception, whether it is a Jew, whether it is a Christian, whether it is a Muslim, every person takes it an honor to attribute himself to Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam. Other Anbiya Alayhi Salaam, there may be differences of opinion amongst these various divine religions, but Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam is unique in this respect that everybody is agreed upon. Nobody has got any difference about Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam. There may be Isa Alayhi Salaam that we believe, but the Jews disbelieve. Right? And there may be Musa Alayhi Salaam that we believe, and the Jews may believe, but the Christians don't hold him with that type of respect. Even our Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we all believe, right? But the Jews and the Christians don't hold him in the esteem that we hold him in, right? But Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam was unique in that respect and that regard, that people from every denomination believed in him. They respected him, they believed in him, they honored him. Right. So therefore Allah Ta'ala chooses to speak about him. Ya baniya inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deen, that this is the path that your Rabb has chosen for you. So you remain upon this right until your last. Hannah is the mother of Maryam alayhi salam, right? So she's conceived. What's her concern? She's aging also, and she's conceived in that time. When she's conceived in that time, now what is her concern? Inni nazartu laka ma fi batni muharraran fataqabbal minni. I'm aging now, and I've got a concern that I want to make some dedication for Allah Ta'ala. Something, some provision. I intend some type of security. At the time I'm reaching my end, my grave, I'm reaching it. Then I need to make some type of security for that. I'm reaching my end, my old age, I need to have some security for that. I'll be made to lie in the grave, I need to have some type of security for that. So now she's thinking, I need to have some security. What can I do? So she says that this, what I have conceived, I'm dedicating it to the cause of Allah Ta'ala. Absolutely, purely, for no other reason. He mustn't be involved in anything deen, anything dunyavi. Any material he mustn't be involved. Purely for your cause, I am dedicating this in my stomach, in my womb, purely for you, O Allah Ta'ala. So you see this Anbiya Alayhim Salaam, and you see their thinking, their brain, their mind and their thinking, how they think. You also want security, they also are looking for security. The most perfect knowledge was blessed and bestowed to the Anbiya Alayhim Salaam, because Allah showed them this world and the next. Showed them complete. Utitu mafatihu khazainil ard. Nabi Salaam was given the keys of the treasure of the world, east and the west, all the treasures given to him. So he's seen the whole world and how the whole system operates, he's seen that. He's seen ilmul awwalin wal akhirin. Allah gave him the knowledge of the former and the latter. So the knowledge of the former and the latter was blessed to him. He had seen the entire world, right? And he saw the hereafter. When he went for Mi'raj, he saw that as well. After that, he comes up with a plan, a security plan. And when we see the world, we see it very, very narrow, right? We say, you know, you must be ahead of the times. You must move it. You must move. And I also say must move. Other people say must go a little backwards, 1400 years ago. I say, no, must go forward. Must go forward. People are saying 1400, they are saying the right thing. But I'm saying it in a different perspective altogether. I'm saying must go forward. Must go forward, must go at a tremendous speed, must go. Going forward, you must go forward. Must look forward. Understand forward. See forward. Not see forward, full forward. I say go, and go full forward. Because the most you can think of going forward in fast speed, you know. People are doing it for adrenaline. Or one country is trying to compete with the other country. That I can, our rocket can be launched onto Mars, whatever, in this type of period. That's the furthest they can think of. They can't think of anything further than that. That our rocket can move at this speed, perhaps 10 kilometers a second. Another one will say perhaps 20. And further than that, maybe someone will come up after 50 years, it's 50 kilometers a second. Right? That's the furthest. I say, go even further than that. Why are you stopping yourself? Why are you only to Mars, to Jupiter, or to the moon? Why are you going like this? You must be so advanced, you must be so ahead. You must move with such speed, tremendous speed, that we must transcend the Earth, transcend the Jupiter, the Mars, the Moon, transcend all these planets, transcend even the furthest point that the eyes can perceive, transcend the first sky right into heaven, right into Jannat. Our eyes and our heart must be locked in Jannat, Jahannam. So we've transcended all the human barriers. Every barrier that you could think of, you transcend, you stress past. So aren't you forward? They are still playing around. Hey, playing around, Jupiter, Mars, like marbles, they're playing with this one thing, grab me that marble. Why, small little things? Go for the real things. Small little marbles you're running after. And then you bring some marbles from there again, small little marbles to play us, to amuse yourself and amuse us. Hey, we had enough of that amusement. We want the real stuff now. When they are small little children, they're playing around, and you give them a toy cigarette, and then the child will be playing around with a toy cigarette, right? And sometimes you give him a sweet toy, perhaps it's a sweet chocolate or something sweet shaped into a cigarette or something, right? But the child will think that in his heart, when are you going to give me the real thing? You give him a toy scooter, say, when am I going to have the real thing? See, I see that person, he's driving and he's moving. See the scooter, how he's riding. See the speed. He can overtake all the cars. I want something real. So Allah Pak is also saying, go for the real. All these things are all playing, amusement. It's just to catch the eye. Nothing beyond the catching of the eye. Go for that, and go for that which is real. For that, you will break every speed barrier. Every speed barrier. You, in a second, you are there already. One Sahabi is asked, how do you find yourself? I see Jannat one side, I see Jahannam one side. I see the people gathered on the day of Qiyamah. I see the Jannatis and how they are rejoicing and how they are celebrating, enjoying themselves. Bi Jannatin Aliyah, la tasma'u fiha la. I'm seeing them. And I'm seeing the people of Jahannam. One is shouting the other. The leader is blaming the follower, and the follower is blaming the leader. One is throwing the buck onto the other, like you see in a court appearance when a whole gang is caught, right? So when the gang is apprehended, then everybody is throwing the blame one onto the other. Right? So for the magistrate, it's a real thing. When he sees this, he sees a gang and he sees the apprehended, and he can already imagine how they're going to behave, because he sees this all the time. He sees these cases all the time. So the Quran must become so real that Jannat is before us, Jahannam is before us, Qiyamah is before us, the weight of deeds are before us, the Pul Sirat is before us. All these things are real. Jannat is real. We can see the reward. We're reading the Durood Sharif and we can see the reward. We're reading the Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. We can see the reward before us. It must become so real, right? There must be some reason why Allah Pak said, وَمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُمْ وَلَعِبُ. That this dunya is nothing more than a pastime. It's a sport and a pastime. Anything beyond that. You enjoy the best of food, right? with all the works, all the finishes, everything, the best type of ambiance, whatever, with all the honor and all the respect, and the best type of foods, best type of attention, best type of waiters or waitresses, everything you enjoyed. By the morning, what is it? You want to see it, you want to go anywhere near it, finished. So Allah Pak is showing you, this is the end of the best comfort, the greatest honor of this material. This is the end. No matter what you aspire for, what type of security you are talking about, but this is the end. Then why are you looking at the dunya with such narrow vision? We are also talking of having a broad vision, a broad sight. We also say don't talk about some, don't be naive. Don't be limited in your vision, don't be limited in your sight. Be broad, but don't then limit your vision right to the parameters of this world. Transcend the earth, go above. Transcend even the parameters of the scientists, they only can see where the, what the eyes can see. We see where Rasulullah SAW had seen. What Allah Baqsa spoke about, we see that. They only can see what meets the eye. And we see where Nabi SAW had seen. They talk about this philosophers of old, you see. So the philosophers of old were not like the philosophers of this day. This day philosophy is for money. Psychologists, all that, they are there for the money. Like every other profession, whether it is medicine, whether it is any other profession, then it is more or less a commercialized thing. In the old, it wasn't a commercialized thing. Any profession was taken as a profession. They looked at it, they viewed it totally differently. So this philosophy also was looked at differently, totally different. So the whole the outlook was different, the whole vision was different. Today you are for your material value. What is the material value? This is your real value. You don't have anything materialistic, you got no value. So this is how we have transformed things in this day. In that zaman, it was not like that. It was, whether you're learning medicine or any other art or any other science you're learning, you're learning it for that science. You get now just a selected professional class you'll find that got that professionalism in them. More it is for the commercial value. Right? So for anything now, commercial. You give one appointment today, another appointment another day, 10 appointments, so each appointment, 500 rand you're throwing, 1000 rand you're throwing. Now they think, if I don't give you that appointments, I don't stress the whole thing, how can I justify that 10,000 rand that I'm going to take from you? I need to stress that appointments so I can justify the thing. Simple procedures we will not show. We will not show for the same reason that we look at it as a material venture. Anyway, that's a topic on its own. But the philosophers of old, they looked at it differently. How they looked at it, how they viewed it. They looked at it just as a profession, as a skill, as a science. So, there was this Aflatun, they call him Pluto, right? And Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah reported it, and he also reported it from Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah. So the source is authentic. So, on some occasion, the king of that zamana, now Pluto is before Isa alayhi salam's time, so you can imagine it's about 3-4 thousand years away. So he met up with the king of the time, and the king says, you know what, you don't come to meet up with us and all that, whatever, what's wrong with you? What's your problem? So just to cover up stories, these philosophers of old, they were understanding people. They didn't like to go into lengthy discussions and debates. Get to the point. So the king says to him, see, I want to host you people. The king says, do you know who you're going to host? You're going to host me. I've got so many security, 500 security, plus ministers, plus the whole, our whole entourage will end up to about 2-3 thousand people. You know, that's what I want. And you know, where are you going to host them? See, in this place, total wilderness, I'm going to host you. Now, the king also is holding him some respect because he knows of Pluto and all that man. So he can't engage him in a debate. He can't ask me, you got nothing here. It's only jungle here. What are you going to feed us with herbs? What? The king's not engaging him. So anyway, the venue, the time, everything has been confirmed. And as the venue and the date is confirmed, this king comes in with his entourage, his ministers, special ministers, then second level ministers, security, bodyguards, everything, 1,000, 2,000 people coming in. King is observing, it's at night around Isha time, after Isha time, and the whole place is lit up, well lit up, you know, very well lit up. Then the tents that are put up, canopies and the tents that are put up according to their classes, the king and the nobles on one side, the monarchs on the other side, the ministers one place, then where are these security, etc., where they're going to be housed, everything, you know, to that level, the finishers, the canopies, the attendants, everything, the food that is laid out, you know, one of its kind, different for the king, for the ministers is different. 30, 40 courses, everything has been laid out. The attendants, the waiters, the waitresses, everything. After everything has been served, they ate everything, and now they're being housed. Then the beds also are to their level. And added to the beds, besides the waiters and the attendants, each person that is invited in, each one that is invited, he's got a girl for himself for the night. And according to his status, you know, they're enjoying themselves. By the morning, when their eyes open around Fajr time, after Fajr, they see they cuddled cold in the jungle, holding some stick. So what was this? It was the power of imagination. What? It was the power of imagination. His power of imagination was such, where the magicians could do it, يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى, that they could cast a spell over that audience, that these are all snakes and they are all pythons in a violent motion, right? They could cast a spell and they could see it themselves. So these philosophers, the way they discipline their mind and they discipline themselves, they can make you imagine all these things. It's just an imagination, but the power of imagination is so powerful that they can get you to imagine this thing. And then by the morning they're showing you that, see, it was just our power of imagination that caused all this thing. It was nothing besides power of imagination. But do you see our power and your power? You have to put it up, months of preparation, all that. And us, our power is just the imagination, and we can build it up within hours. We can build it up so beautifully. But then, after everything is said and done, Allah Pak says what? مَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَعِبُ. It is just play and amusement. It is just entertainment. It is just a pastime. So what has happened to our people in this day and time, that this pastime has become real. Someone is running after some type of a sport or the other. Someone is running after some type of a business or the other. But that has become a pastime. And that pastime has become such that it became like real. That pastime has become such that it became real. When it became real, now he is afraid. He's consumed with fear. He's got so much, but he's so consumed with fear. I'm going to do it. What's going to happen? I need to get this thing running. And I must make this type of figures, this type of digits. So you see, it was a pastime. It was an imagination. But that imagination, when it works in your mind, it works in your mind to such a level that you began to consider it as a real thing. When you considered it as a real thing, this became from an imagination to a conviction. When it became to a conviction, now you have to work for it, you have to sweat for it. Whereas it wasn't like what you made of it. It was just an imagination, it was just a thought, it was just a pastime, right? What a man needs, he needs a place to sleep, he needs a place to cover himself, and he needs some food. That's all that he requires, alright? Then he requires some type of a vehicle, a little bit of a reliable vehicle, this is all that he requires. But then when we examine and scrutinize our lives, is it to the point of this need or far beyond the point of this need? Generally, it's far beyond the point of the need. But then we say, no,
You have to do it. I'm not going to do it. You don't do it. You must do it. You know, you must get up. You must work hard. And we'll give that bayan to everybody, whether our children, our brothers, and Allah Pak maaf kare, even our wives. We'll tell them also. We're not seeing those targets, and they must also pull them out of their homes. Go and make those targets. Make sure that you do it. Look in the pages in the Quran. Then, إِنَّكَ لَا تَجُوَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَزْمَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى. Allah Pak is telling Adam Al Islam, you see, Jannah is such a place that you will never go hungry there. And you won't go unclothed. So you will be always blessed. Clothing, food, everything, you'll find it. And then he says, فَتَشْقَى. If you ever go off the tangent of the path that I'm showing, then you'll put yourself into difficulty. فَتَشْقَى. One is شَقَاوَةِ دُنْيَوِي, one is شَقَاوَةِ أُخْرَوِي. شَقَاوَةِ أُخْرَوِي, a Nabi doesn't get involved in شَقَاوَةِ أُخْرَوِي, right? A misfortune, calamity pertaining to the hereafter, a Nabi doesn't fall in that. But in this world, a Nabi can fall into some difficulty. But Allah Pak addresses Adam alayhi salam in this respect. Right? In respect to the wrong, He addresses both of them. And both of them repent, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. But in respect to the food, in respect to the clothing, in respect to the shelter, etc., he directs the whole address to Adam alayhi salam. Now what is the reason why Allah Pak directs the whole message to Adam alayhi salam and not to the both? إِنَّكَ لَا تَجُوَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَزْمَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى. The whole address is directed to Adam alayhi salam. No food required, no shelter, no clothing required, no water required. But in this world, you required to provide all these four things. But now the question is, why did Allah Ta'ala direct all these requirements, this worldly requirements, to the husband and not to the wife? Implying upon us why these are the responsibilities of the man, not of the woman. And if you're going to pass on the responsibilities to the woman, then you're going to mix up the affairs. The whole world is going to be in chaos. It's going to be chaotic. So it's the responsibility of the man, according to the clear words of the Quran. But when this imagination became not an imagination, no longer is it an imagination, no longer is it a dream, it's a real thing. So you have to pull the child out of the madrasa for that. You have to pull him out for some additional tuition for this dream. You have to pull the girl out from the confines and the respect of the homes for this dream. The wife out from the caring of the child and taking care and nurturing that little infant into this environment, this hostile environment, where she's going to be molested or someone is going to interfere with her. But just for the fulfillment of the dream. You see how narrow you become. Your vision becomes narrow. That thing is a dream. And now that dream became like a reality. When it became a reality, so everybody had to be pulled out to fulfill this dream. See how Allah Pak is speaking to Adam alayhi salam. This is your responsibility. You want to provide for the food, for the shelter, for the drink, for the clothing. You want to provide. And she is going to be living within the home. So she's not going to provide. But then when we change the whole Quran Sharif around, then this is what we are saying. So Allah Pak is saying, مَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَيْبِ. It's just a play and amusement. How beautiful is it? Just a pastime. It's no more than a pastime. But we're saying to Allah Pak, no Allah Pak, you know what? You said that about 1400 years ago. That's outdated now. Na'uzubillah. So the modern time says, no. This dunya is real. I have to work for it. I have to strive for it. I have to struggle for it. I have to sweat and give my blood for it. I have to swear for it. I have to fight with people for it. I have to bleed myself for it. I have to get a heart attack for it. I have to get 100 type of pressure for it. Just to make that digit, just to me. Because Allah Pak, you know what you said is a pastime. I don't believe it's a pastime. It's a real thing. I have to work for it. I have to struggle. I have to strive. I have to speak lies. I have to give my nights and my day. I have to give my blood and my sweat. I have to equal my night and my day for this. So this is not a dream any longer, it's a reality. So we are not saying it by our word, but in our minds we have got it. And Allah Pak is saying so clearly, categorically saying, مَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَيْبُ. It is no more than a play and an amusement. And we're saying, you know, it's real. Allah Pak, it's so real that we have to even risk the beliefs of our children. I had one professor this morning here, you know, in the madrasa. So he's telling me, you know, after a lot of research and a lot of thought I put into it, I come to this conclusion that the secular education, one of the important things, salient features in the secular education, is to rob the individual of his iman. Now this person here has been through the whole system, he's been lecturing, either professor or whatever, head of our department. Now he's saying this. Okay. This is meant to rob the person from his beliefs. This is what it meant. So when we thought this is a real thing, that anything that comes, we can make the sacrifice just to get this thing that is reality. So the parda is not an issue. Nothing is an issue. Rob them out. Take them out of the homes. They must come out. They must come out of the home. Thereafter, their children can be thereafter a prey for everybody, Muslim, non-Muslim, everybody will be preying on them. They'll be feasting on them. It's alright, my daughters can be feasting on everybody, it's alright. Because we made the dunya a reality. And Allah Pak says, مَهَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُمْ وَلَعِبْ. Then what is the real thing? So he says, وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ لَيَّ الْحَيَوَانِ. Real life is the life beyond. That is the real life. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَيَّ الْحَيَوَانِ. So Jannat will be that place. Once you step into Jannat, then the walls are singing out to you. Come in, Ahlan wa Marhaban, Ahlan wa Sahlan wa Marhaba. You are for me and I am for you. And your attendants are calling out, Bildanum Mukhalladun, perpetual beauty and youth. They are calling out to you. From every corner, and there is Illa Qilan Salaman Salama. لا يسمعون فيها لغوًا ولا تأثيمًا. Nothing that will traumatize you. No pain, nothing, absolutely. No pain, no trauma, absolutely. Now here, it was such a beautiful day. We're just going to rest. Everything, we ate well. Everything was so nice, so beautiful, so much of honor and respect for good children, everything. At night, you receive a phone. Hey, a brother involved in an accident is crucial. They put him onto the life support. Now, can you sleep? So and so had a heart attack. Can you sleep? Can't sleep. Just one news. So there, Allah Baksa. La yasma'una fiha lahwa wa la ta'thima. Nothing that is hurtful, nothing that is painful, nothing that is sinful. Absolute nothing. Illa qilan salaman salama. Just to enhance your spirit. Just to make you happier and happier. More and more enjoyable. So the attendants are there. Perpetual youth and beauty. The voices are only salaman salama. It's music that you're hearing from the walls. Enshrouded in beauty, covered in beauty, within this beauty, without this beauty, there's just beauty and comfort, nothing beyond, nothing besides that. One poor little villager from India, he says, I saw Jannat in the dream. There it was so beautiful, so exotic. The stream that I'd seen, the lights, and how it's, you know, how it's going. Something we've never seen. Although I'm in a village, I've seen a lot of places. Jamaat, he's been in a lot of places. So he's seen a lot of things. Falls and Niagara, whatever you've seen. But this was absolutely different. Just that one glimpse, and it stuck so firmly in his mind, said, I can't forget that thing. Unforgettable memory. Just one little, small little glimpse. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. That is real life. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. Had you only understood. So these Anbiya alayhim salam, they give us, they illustrate that security plan. Here you have to have the brokers to come and explain you the security plan. Make it feel real. Hey, we'll do this for you. We'll do this for you. We'll do this for you. Don't worry, we are there for you. We are there for you. And the Anbiya alayhim salam, they are the brokers of the hereafter. You see, this is the security. This is the security. These people's security can fail as well. They can fail, they can disappoint you. They'll say, when they're failing, they say, you are just the broker, we didn't say we'll guarantee you the money. The company is supposed to guarantee you. They have got, they're very easy in turning around, maneuvering, manipulating, they're very good, very easy at that. And the word of Allah Ta'ala. Man asdaqu min Allahi qila. Can there be any word truer than the word of Allah Ta'ala? Can there be anything truer? Nothing truer. With so much, and Allah Pak does so much. Just a little bit of effort, and so much is Allah Pak. This not supposed to be spoken about so well, so broadly. But it's a small township around. I won't mention the name of the township. From a long time, we were trying to work at getting to the township. Muslim township, but they won't allow us to get in, and khayalat were different, and our style, Allah keep us in His fazl, not to go and fight and confront anybody or get into a debate, whatever. But then when we see the small little children, and then they're going off, completely off, someone's music and someone is womanizing and doing what things, it's a concern. Whatever it is, it's a Muslim. The old person is not understanding and is not relating, at least the young, he must be safe from Jahannam. Anyway, after some time, they allowed us. So they started off a small maktab, whatever, started off. Now the children are scattered, living far apart. So we had to have some type of a vehicle to transport them to the madrasa. Now for the vehicle, you need a driver. So it doesn't end up madrasa, then a vehicle, then a vehicle, then a driver. One old chacha, he volunteered that I will do the driving. So anyway, but he's got nothing to do with the masjid. He is pulls apart from the masjid. But he said, alright, I'm retired as it is. I'm not doing, I'll bring the children. As he came in, now the Jamaat style is different. The Jamaat style is samjana, batana, however, flatter the person, but just going to keep the masjid. That is the whole modus operandi. That just connect the person. Once you connected him, then he'll move on. As though you brought him onto the line. Brought him onto the track. Brought him onto the track, now the train will move. If the train is not on the track, how is it going to move? It has to come onto the track. So the track is the masjid. So somehow they got around him and they spoke to him. Murana was in Jamaat there. So he spoke to him and he caught him. Now he started reading his namaz and all that, identifying a little bit, dropping his children. Now this is about 2 weeks ago, the istima time. He fell sick, so they hospitalized him and all that, and whatever. Perhaps he was in the life support machine with all the mask, everything covering up. Now then they brought him home or something and he still had the support. So now he's about to pass away, so he pulls that mask, everything out of his face, and he says to his husband, just move off there, people are coming in, malaika, etc., just coming in. So move away from there, move away from there, just move away, let them come in. And then he raises his finger, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and he's gone. This is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Rahmat-e Khuda bahana mi joyad. What? That mercy of Allah Ta'ala wants to bless you somehow. But are there any takers? The givers are there. They want to give. But is there any taker? Man was all upside down. Totally different tangent is moving in. Don't want to relate. Don't want to identify. But Allah Ta'ala wanted to bless him. And Allah Ta'ala wanted to bless him. Then he created some type of a mechanism to connect him. Abu Buzuganadin, this is how they had looked at life. They saw that people are not going to come in now. But they're not going to come in. Somehow you have to go and flatter the person, talk to him nicely, get him, wrap him around. Not for any type of a material gain. Only for Allah's pleasure. Just connect him to the masjid. Just connect him. You connect him, then one thing will lead from one thing to the other, second thing and the third thing. It will move on. He'll move on himself. But are you making that attempt to connect him? The better thing is to join the Jamaat and connect him. But if you can't, it doesn't mean you mustn't call the person. You can't do this much on the phone or something. Somehow I'd like to see you at the masjid or whatever. How you call him to an invitation, he will honor your invitation, right? So this is also an invitation. If you have that type of a rapport, he'll come in. But just connect the person, somehow or the other, connect the person. Mawlana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullahi is the founder of Darulum Dioban. We talk of Dioban. He's the founder. So, the foundation has the effect of the founder. The foundation must have the effect of the founder. What was the founder? What was he like? His foundation, in other words, his building will have the effect and the influence of the founder. So what was that person? Imam Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi, such as, person without any, you know, no worldly, no material inclinations. Absolute nothing. Qana. Selfless person. Such a selfless person. His father was Sheikh Asad, or an alim. In India, the hookah was a commonly spoken thing, right? Now here it's a very, very dangerous thing. He's taking hookah, he's a bad person. It just hit the market, so we take it with a lot of reservation, right? But in India, if you look at Indian history, it's taken about last 2-3 centuries. Been taken. Right? So his father used to take this thing here, this hookah. And Mulana would just go and offer the service. The moment his father would say, Qasim, straight away, go get that hookah, get the chilam, get it right, put whatever filling he used to put it, light it up, and offer it to his father. Until one Pathan Alim came in, you know. He came in, and he warned his father. He was also a great buzru, this Pathan Alim was a great buzru. So he says, you know what you're doing? You better wake up, he's telling the father of Mawar Qasim, you better wake up. When you are asking to do this type of a thing, this is shaking the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. You better get up from your slumber. His father got a shock. Say, I didn't know my son. I saw his, you know, Marata Londa, just a child. What's wrong if I tell him? I didn't know this was his position. But himself, he was such a selfless person. A group of people had just come in. So he had hosted them. And as he hosted them, I was seeing some of them, they tossing and turning one end to the other. They can't get the sleep. I'm talking about the founder. If you understand the founder, then you understand the foundation. You understand the thinking. You understand the outlook. So he's got that mehman, no namaz, nothing to do with deen. But he's got them, and his man is just tossing and turning one end to the other end. He can't get his sleep. So Mawlana saw this for about half an hour. He couldn't stand it. He thought this person didn't have his hookah, the last pull, so he can't sleep. So Mawlana filled that thing up, everything, got it right, and presented it to him. And he says, see, I don't know how to fill this thing up so well, because I don't pull it myself. So I don't know your taste, I don't know the blend and all that. If it's alright, then very good. But if it's anything needed to be added, just let me know. Now he had the thing and he slept very well. After he's sleeping, after he got up, then he's thinking, hey, what did I do? The buzrug of the time, and I made him do something so despicable. I can't carry on this life here. I need to turn around. So this is the age. He is now 150 years ago. At that time you had to press the feet, put the crown, get this piece, somehow or other, just pull them, drag them to the path of Allah Ta'ala, drag them to the masjid, somehow patawa them and influence them. How much more do you need to do that selflessly? Not for recognition, not for any type of material gain, just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, but to somehow just connect. Because the worldly attractions are there. They're attracting and attracting, and they come to a point where they're not attracting, but they're aggressive. You must go. It's like a tsunami. Those evils are like a tsunami that's wiping you off the feet. So now, you have to come from the other end and drag them from the other end. What type of influence you must use? Nonetheless, we're talking of this Anbiya alayhi salam, and we just branched off, right? So we talk of Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam, and he's also in the end of his life. So then he's raising his hands to the heavens and he says, Inni khiftul mawaliya. But when he commences his dua, he says, Wahana al-azmu minni. My bones are becoming infirm and weak, fading away, I can see it. Washta'ada ar-ra'su minni shayba. And I can see my hair is brightening white now, it's brightening, glistering. Right. So bones are becoming infirm. Hair is radiant white. Right. So the recommended thing at the time of dua is to express one's weakness, one's disability, inability before Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma inni da'if faqawwi fi ridaqa da'fi. Allah Ta'ala, I'm weak. I'm helpless, O Allah Ta'ala. Before you, the day you become helpless, show your helplessness, right? Before that day where you'll become totally helpless, totally dependent, you are on that bathtub at the time of ghusl, totally helpless. You understand how helpless you'll be at that time. So before you reach that point, you become totally helpless. Express your total helplessness to Allah Ta'ala. That one day Allah Ta'ala, I'll become totally helpless. Absolutely helpless. I'm helpless. I need your grace, Allah Ta'ala. So you say it also. Don't only feel it, but say it to Allah Ta'ala, I'm helpless. I can't do it, Allah Ta'ala. I can't make it happen. I can see my limitations, my acumen, my intelligence, my ingenuity just takes me to a certain point and cuts off at that point. It will disappoint me at the time that I need. It won't show up at the time that I require it. At that time, it just plays. Sometimes, it will just, my intelligence will be blocked. I don't know why I did something like that. I don't know why I behaved like that. Why I said those type of words, I don't know. Intelligence just got blocked up. So, you show your weakness, your inability, your limitations, I am weak, I can't do it. But Allah, what can't you do? I can't do anything. But is there anything that you can't do, Allah Ta'ala? I am weak, but are you weak? Allah Ta'ala, you are the strongest of the strongest. Strength comes from you. So this is how you ask Allah, you start off like that. So you're building yourself, you're building your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, you're talking to Him. It's not just a formal motion you're going through, there's some repetition of some words, that's like that. But it's a relationship, it's a real life relationship. Talking to Allah Ta'ala, it's a life relationship. Can't we talk to Allah Ta'ala sometimes in the morning, sometime at the night? Especially as the first white hair touches. In India, some of the farms, you know. As the mango season sets in, and the first mango becomes ripe, you can see something ripe coming up. They break down all the mangoes. Because when the first thing is ripened, so it's a indication that they are matured now. It's just the ripening that is left. Now you're going to leave it like this, the more it's going to leave it, we are endangering the fruit, there's going to be some birds, some monkeys going to interfere. So we rather just break the thing down and then ripen it ourselves. So similarly, the moment the first white hair appears, now it's ripe. Now you are to be plucked by malakul maut. There the farmer is going to pluck you, and here the malakul maut is going to pluck you. Already ripe now. Anytime, you're going. So when you see that in the mirror, things, hey, malakul maut, this is that malakul maut that put a seal on here. You put a seal. You put a stamp. When you see yourself in the mirror, don't see how beautiful you're going to be looking. That beauty is gone. That beauty is gone now. You see that thing in the mirror. See it again and again. And say, oh, this is a blessing of malakul maut. Coming from Allah Ta'ala via malakul maut. Coming from Allah Ta'ala via malakul maut. This is what I see in the mirror.